People want good jobs. The government needs good people, especially in national security. Sometimes lots of them. So what's missing? In a word, maybe two words, hiring authorities. The federal government, though, actually offers its managers no less than 106 hiring authorities, yet hiring managers tend to use just a few. Well, now the White House has added a couple of more authorities by executive order. Joining me with how they can get national security people into government, Margot Conrad, Director of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. And Margot, hiring and hiring authorities have certainly been, I think, top of mind now for about a year.
Absolutely, they certainly have. And thank you very much for having me on the show today, Tom. I appreciate it. Just to take a quick step back, I think one of the big challenges here is that there's a real need for talent, and particularly diverse talent in the national security field for our federal government. And so, you know, we have a workforce that is aging, and we have just 6% of the federal workforce under the age of 30. So there's a real need to be bringing in a pipeline of young talent into government, and particularly more diverse talent into the national security and international affairs type of work in government, because it's actually less diverse than the broader pool within the federal workforce. So there's been some good actions underway. There was an executive order that was issued in October looking at how agencies can be increasing diversity and inclusion within the national security workforce. And as you just referenced, there were recent executive orders just issued at the end of November looking at specifically how can we ensure that young talent we're bringing in and educating into national security fields and giving them language training, that we can then convert them and bring them into government.
Now, this first executive, or the first one we'll talk about, is an executive order providing for the appointment of the competitive service of certain employees of the Foreign Service, people that have been in State Department in the Foreign Service. What does that one do here to help the national security need?
Sure. So there are two executive orders, as you mentioned. The first one is looking specifically at the Consular Fellows Program, and that program offers candidates who have advanced proficiency in critical languages, things that our government really needs, like Arabic or Chinese, Russian, Spanish, Portuguese, a number of different languages. It offers them a limited non-career appointment for up to 5 years to be able to fill some critical consulate staffing gaps that we have at overseas posts. So that's what the program currently does. And then this allows them to be able to be non-competitively appointed afterwards for up to 1 year of completing that service.
Just to clarify, they can be appointed for a permanent job within 1 year of leaving that service.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
They have 1 year to be non-competitively appointed afterwards. Correct.
Okay, that's interesting, because I was just at a small agency. Interesting that you should bring this up now. And they needed people with not very common language skills, but also complete fluidity in English to do translations and so forth and monitoring events around the world, and they had to use a contractor to bring in people. None of them are actually federal employees.
That's true. So this is specific for the Consular Fellows Program, and like I said, it's really going to be critical in helping to fill some of those gaps that we have in overseas posts and being able to leverage and ensure folks that have those critical language skills can not only be in a temporary position, but then ultimately hired non-competitively into a permanent position. And then the other executive order is looking at three different programs that are really focused on sort of the entry level. So it's the Gilman program, the Critical Language Scholarship program, and the Fulbright programs that currently exist. And they provide grants to individuals to pursue academic studies, internships, language immersion, or to have other cultural experiences abroad. And in many cases, they are also developing those language skills that are really important, and they're working in regions that are important to U.S. interests. So again, those individuals and those particular fellowships and scholarship programs would be eligible for the non-competitive appointment upon 1 year of for 1 year after completing those programs.
We're speaking with Margot Conrad, Director of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. So these two within 1 year non-competitive appointment authorities are actually beyond the 106 standing authorities that are enshrined in the OPM regulations.
Correct. So they will be additional authorities that the State Department will be able to leverage to be able to bring critical national security talent into their agencies more permanently. So the challenge, as you said, is there are over 106 hiring authorities across government that are being used, and often agencies aren't necessarily aware of which authorities they have at their disposal or how to use them. So when you're adding some new ones like this, the critical piece is going to be making sure that the State Department, hiring managers, and HR really understand these authorities that they have at their disposal and utilize them, and that the students or individuals who are in these programs, that they understand that they have this authority and eligibility that they can leverage upon completing the program.
Could any of these people within that 1 year be appointed to a job, say, in Homeland Security that might be similar to a job they would do or aligned with a job they might do at the State Department?
Yes, actually, in Section 2 of the executive order, it does appear that any head of an agency in the executive branch can appoint to the competitive service anyone who has been certified by the Secretary of State or designee to have participated successfully in one of these programs, Fulbright, Gilman, or the Critical Language Scholarship Program.
Well, that's very cool. Then that means that a State Department can be a font of people and send them throughout the government. And let's get back to that point about diversity. Mm-hmm. When these orders talk about the need for a diverse workforce in national security, is that simply, you know, racially and getting more women in, or is it also diversity of professional background?
Sure. So definitely diversity of professional background and experience, because there are positions that you might be doing law enforcement, you might be a nurse working in a posting abroad. Certainly there are, you know, the more traditional foreign or civil service types of positions as well. But there are a diverse type of skill sets that we're looking for in our national security field, IT and cyber as well. But we're also really interested in thinking about how we can make sure that the national security workforce really reflects the not only the complex nature of the work, but the fact that our country is very diverse and we need talent in government that reflects that diversity.
And just from a HR standpoint within the federal sphere, that point two that we mentioned, that these people are available to any executive branch agency, that relates to a myth that the OPM has been trying to bust and other agencies have been trying to expose, which is that, yeah, agencies can share candidates and you can look at people across the government for a job that you have within your piece of government.
Correct. That's right. And what's interesting about the national security workforce itself is that, you know, you often think about State Department or maybe DHS or DOD, but there are also a number of other agencies that that have critical needs for national security talent. So, for example, Department of Treasury, there's the Office of International Affairs, and they have an Office of Critical Infrastructure Protection. Department of Justice has a National Security Division, and obviously FBI. So there are a number of different agencies, plus the intelligence community. So there are many agencies that are looking for similar types of talent. And these programs and the fact that there's now non-competitive eligibility will help to build that talent pipeline into government more broadly.
We should also mention, too, that the second section in the first order that we talked about, the Foreign Service people, there again it says the head of any agency in the executive branch may appoint in the competitive service, et cetera, et cetera. So both executive orders are cross-government.
Correct.
Well, that's good news.
Yes, it's very good news.
Margot Conrad is Director of Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
We have links to the Fulbright and State Department service-related hiring authorities. You can read the executive orders and this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.